Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Talk They Hear You podcast, What Parents Are Saying, Prevention Wisdom, Authenticity, and Empowerment. This podcast is brought to you by the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, also known as SAMHSA. Talk They Hear You is a national prevention campaign that aims to help parents and caregivers talk with their kids about the dangers and risks of underage drinking and other drug use. In this podcast, we hear what's working and what isn't, and what might assist in our efforts to help our kids navigate away from alcohol and other drugs. I'm Debbie Berndt, Director of Parent Movement 2.0, and I'll be your host. As a reminder, the views expressed here are not necessarily those of SAMHSA or the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. We have three very special guests today that I'll introduce in a moment. But first, I want you to know our theme. It is, now is a great time to talk with your kids. Not only is this Talk They Hear You's primary message, talk early and talk often, but now is the perfect time because the end of October marks the observance of a very special National Recognition Week. It's called Red Ribbon Week. And Red Ribbon Week commemorates an amazing man and his accomplishments that go beyond what so many of us would have been willing to do to enable all of us to live drug-free. When my guests and I were exploring how this episode might work, three of us realized that we had never heard of Red Ribbon Week before we got involved in prevention. In addition, we didn't realize how many amazing community resources are available to support parents, including local coalitions that are focused on underage substance use prevention. We all agreed these would have been so helpful when our children were younger. So let me ask our guests to introduce themselves. We're all parents, but Simone is our official parent who is not employed in prevention. So tell us the ages of your kids, Simone, and tell us a little bit about Lauren, one of your daughters, and her involvement.
So I have four kids. One is 32, a daughter. I have a son who is 27. I have a daughter who's 18, and I have a daughter who's 14. And Lauren got involved in Club Live in middle school. She was in leadership, and the Club Live, actually, the meeting time fell in her leadership class. And so she somewhat stumbled into becoming involved with Club Live. And that just produced a ripple effect with everything else that she has done. She joined SCCY and did a lot of their PSAs, youth summits, local events. And I was her chauffeur, driving her around to everything. And in high school, she realized that Friday Night Live was not at Folsom High School. And so she, as a little freshman, pushed to get that club started. And she just felt really strongly that it was important to spread awareness to her peers about alcohol and drug prevention, marijuana use, and tobacco. And so she got Friday Night Live restarted at Folsom High, and it's still going. She graduated last year, and she is still trying to stay involved, trying to do some things to just keep everything going. She's a huge advocate of not drinking, not smoking, not doing drugs.
She's a huge advocate of not using drugs or alcohol. It's
correct.
Really impressive. So let's ask Joelle Orek to introduce herself and the SCCY. Tell us what that is. Tell us about Friday Night Live for anyone that may not know that program that's listening to us. And go ahead and tell us the ages of your kids as well.
All right. Good morning. I'm Joelle Orok, and I work at the Sacramento County Office of Education. I manage the Sacramento County Friday Night Live and Club Live programs, which are youth leadership, youth development prevention programs, and with chapters or clubs on high school and middle school campuses. Club Live is the middle school component. And I also coordinate the Sacramento County Coalition for Youth, or SCCY, we go by. And the focus here for us today is the coalition. That's where we've implemented the Talk They Hear You campaign. Our county implemented the coalition in 2015. Our goal was really to engage the community in prevention efforts. Sacramento is a very large community and a very diverse community, and we don't have a lot of prevention providers that are funded by the county. And so the county was really looking to what can we do to do outreach and involve more folks in prevention efforts and make sure that our goals were not only informed by research, but also directed by the communities that we serve. So the coalition began, like I said, in 2015. We had a year of action planning, and one of our main values is involving young people. We don't want to do work for them without involving them. Youth Voice is a really big value for us. They've always said nothing about us without us. And so they've been at the table in the planning and in the creation of all the programs that we've done. We do youth listening circles every year and gather a diverse group of young people from throughout the county and ask them, what are they seeing? What are they experiencing? And what's important to them? And how should we direct our work? And what kind of messages would they hear around prevention? Because that's really important. And the number one thing in that very first listening circle was parents, that we needed to connect with parents and educate parents. And I love that stat, that statistic that really talks about the youth, that parents' voice matters in the lives of young people, and young people say that. And so we look to the SAMHSA Talk They Hear You campaign to implement, to educate and really help parents build their skills around this and remind them that they need to talk to their young people early and often about substance use. So we kicked off the campaign in April of that year to coincide with Alcohol Awareness Month. Our County Board of Supervisors deemed it Talk They Hear You Day. We did a press event and we began doing presentations countywide and talking about Talk They Hear You and kind of localizing it a little bit. We created PSAs that had young people and Sacramento County folks, so faces that were familiar or that people could recognize themselves in, talking about the campaign. And then we also implemented a big media campaign with billboards and bus shelter signs. And we showed those PSAs on TV and in movie theaters. And the goal was to inform parents in a presentation mode and then have them see the campaign around town to remind them, you know, that this is important, that, oh yeah, I want to talk to my young people. And then COVID came. And so we thought, wow, people are not out and about and they're not going to see our campaign and be reminded. And so what can we do? What kind of resources can we put in the hands of families to remind them about this important initiative? And so we created family meal kits, and those kits contain a placemat with information, some data points on the risks of youth substance use, and then some of the points that the Talk They Hear You campaign is so good at sharing with parents about why to talk and when to talk and how those conversations need to change as young people get older. And then also there's a postcard with information about the campaign. And then there's a little game in that kit that has questions for youth to ask adults and questions for adults to ask young people. And so we were able to get those kits out in the hands of families. Over 3,000 families last year received one of those family meal kits. So we're excited to continue to share that information with families and remind parents how important it is to have those conversations.
So that is amazing. And when I hear you talk about all this, it really helps me understand what coalition life is about. And to know that there are coalitions like yours across the country, lots of times county originated, is just a really comforting thing as a parent to know there are materials and there are people that are actually focused on helping us help our kids navigate away from drugs and alcohol. That should be a community goal, and that there are real organizations focused on it. It's just fantastic. Now, did you tell us you have kids too?
I do, and that is my most important role. So I should have shared that first. I have two boys, 24 and 18. And yeah.
That's awesome. So let me then ask Jamila Robinson, who is from the DEA, to talk to us a little bit about this amazing division inside the DEA that she's a part of. And then we'll talk a little bit more about Red Ribbon Week in a minute. And Jamila, I think you're a parent as well. So tell us the ages of your kids.
My kids are 8, 16, 21, and 22. And I'm a new grandma also. He's almost one. So we're all in this one big happy family here. Times are interesting.
That's awesome. So tell us a little bit about the work you do, because it's It's pretty remarkable.
So I've been at DEA going on 4 years now. I am a senior prevention program manager, and I'm in the division is called the Community Outreach and Support Division. We are under the Office of Public Affairs, under the Office of the Administrator, and we're located in Arlington, Virginia, which is DEA's headquarters office. And under the Community Outreach Division, we have 4 senior prevention program managers and a community outreach specialist that throughout our 23 divisions to deliver community awareness, community engagement, raising awareness about the number of resources that we have, one of which is Red Ribbon Week. The other agency-wide campaign that we have going on is the One Pill Can Kill awareness campaign. We have our 23 divisions. One is a demand reduction coordinator. As I mentioned, it is a collateral duty for a special agent in most divisions. And then our community outreach specialist is somewhat of a liaison between the community and our DEA field divisions.
Awesome. I think when most people think of the DEA, we think major law enforcement organization, the big bad wolf, all kinds of things like that. So the fact that there is this division that's very focused on community outreach, demand reduction through education, support, prevention support, it's just very impressive. I don't know. It's a very sophisticated approach to law enforcement, in my opinion.
Yes. Right. And so the goal ultimately is really bridging prevention and public health with public safety, educating the community that our bread and butter is enforcement. It's all about, you know, bringing down the cartels and reducing overdose deaths. However, in concert with that, we focus on educating and partnering with community coalitions, prevention providers, registrants, non-traditional partners, faith-based organizations, youth-serving organizations. So we are the face, we try to be the face of the community and letting community members know there's more to DEA than just what they imagine or what they believe they see in the movies, that community outreach is important to address and tackle substance use, substance misuse, and overdose deaths, reducing overdose deaths.
I don't know. It just gives me a lot of comfort to know that you're there. So we do want to talk about Red Ribbon Week here in a minute and ask you to give us a little bit of history. But before we do that, we are parents. My kids, just for the record, are 18, 23, and 26. So everybody's got an 18-year-old, I think, on this call, or almost. Let's talk as parents for a minute versus as our professional selves on just what has been our approach. Is there anything in particular that any of us have done to help our kids? How are we discussing prevention with our kids? Just anything along those lines. Anybody want to start us?
Oh, I can start. Like I said, my youngest is 8, and I'm just now beginning to engage on gentle conversation because I don't want to introduce it, but I also know at this age they're learning a lot in school unintentionally. And my 16-year-old, I'm pretty much blunt and as honest as I can be. And my daughter has actually experienced losing 2 of her friends to a fentanyl overdose death. And so that's actually what led us into engaging more and talking more about it because she wasn't aware of what it was, had not heard of it before. And, you know, the kids get to talking and thinking it's one thing and having to talk through this and say, well, no, they just didn't pass away from marijuana only. It was probably laced with something else. Let's learn a little bit more about that situation. And so I just use that opportunity to educate and teach and use it as an example. After that conversation, she thought about, you know, starting, similar to Simone's daughter, a club at her school because they talk about the coaches, there's a PTA night, there's the athletic night where we're talking about concussions and being safe with athletes because she's also a cheerleader. But she realized and recognized there wasn't a lot of discussion around prevention and substance misuse and how do you help a friend. And so we have those conversations and I just try to be here as a resource and I'm learning to listen and not react and share information and not really correct her, but just say, well, do you think that's accurate? Where could we go to verify that what your friend is telling you is what's actually true and happening?
If I had given you a script of resisting that incredible parent urge to start directing or preaching or telling them what they should think, it's universal. We all have to embrace that as parents. You work in a world where this is the subject matter, and the fact that we all do to some degree and have to translate that though to our kids. They just don't just get it, and they need to have those conversations. So Joelle, I see you shaking your head as well.
I agree completely. I've worked in the prevention field for a really long time, and my older son, who's 24, he went through school and his whole life he kept saying, well, I would never do that. My mom would kill me. So it was easier to navigate. He's a little bit older. My 18-year-old, it was different. You know, he grew up in a different world. He grew up in a social media infused, constant bombarding of messages world. And so it was different with him. And so I had to really think through a different approach and really thinking about what are opportunities just to connect with him. And he's kind of a foodie. So he likes to cook and he likes to jump in the car and go grab something to eat. So those are opportunities that I have to talk with him different. And also my husband connects with him better than I do. And so as heartbreaking it is for me, because I do prevention, I had to abdicate that role a little bit to my husband and let them watch sports together, go to wrestling events together, and have those conversations during those opportunities. So different for every kid. And really, you have to really think about it and be really intentional about creating and carving out those times that work. So, and that work differently for each kid. So I agree, Jamila, that was great.
You said a couple of things. One, meeting your kids where they are can be so powerful. I think when we meet our kids where they are, we're doing a lot of things. One is recognizing who they are as individuals, recognizing their strengths, honoring them in some kind of way that's pretty subtle, which I think is so powerful for all of parenting, but certainly drugs and alcohol and the opportunity to have those conversations. And then I just have to laugh. The whole idea that sometimes as a parent, we have to let either their other parent or the people we co-parent with or other people in the community speak to our children and abdicate, I can't say the word, but let go of that responsibility and recognize that maybe we aren't the voice they're going to hear. We have that in my family as well. My partner does happen to be a husband as well, can say things to our kids and always has been able to. And it just frustrates me to no end. I'm like, how come they can't hear that from me? Well, yes. No, they won't. He just bounces in there and says something and it's all done. And I'm like, God dang it.
It's like new news from them. Like, oh, Dad said. And I'm like, wait, what?
What? Yeah. So, but as we've said before, parenting makes us all grow up a little bit. This is certainly one of those things. And recognizing and letting other people speak to our kids can be really powerful. Ms. Simone, what do you think?
So with Lauren being so involved with all the different programs and everything that she's been involved with since seventh grade, marijuana, alcohol, tobacco, drug use, it has always been a topic in our family. And we have been talking about it for as long as I can remember. And I know we didn't touch on this last time, but I sent a picture to Joelle, my three-year-old little granddaughter. I had the meal kit sitting on our bar area, and it was the placemat with the little cards, and she's super inquisitive, super smart, and she starts unrolling the placemat and asking about it and saying, you know, what is this? And she's 3 years old. And so you go to the point where what can a three-year-old absorb? And I just kind of briefly touched on it, but I did send Joelle a picture because I went, look, it's never too young to start. And we took the little questions and I kind of tweaked them a little bit and talked to her about certain things, like what's something that you love to do and what makes you happy. And it's just gotten to the point that we talk about it with our whole family, and it's kind of gone into cousins, nieces, nephews, other family members, friends, because of Lauren's involvement so much. It's always been on the forefront of anything because Lauren is just so involved in it and has been for so long. So it's just something that we've never not talked about.
So I think Lauren's kind of this little gift inside your mm-hmm. family that is keeping mm-hmm. the drug and alcohol conversation alive and current. Mm-hmm. I am curious, were you talking to the three-year-old about drugs and alcohol, or were you kind of talking more about resilience and happiness and that kind of thing?
Yes, I was more like what keeps our bodies healthy and eating well and what we do to stay healthy, because she can only comprehend so much. Yeah. And you don't want to go over their head with topics and things like that. It's kind of age appropriate and fulfills their curiosity. But it was just sitting here, and it didn't even dawn on me, because I think we had just had our meeting a couple weeks ago, and then she was here the next day, and I just had it sitting here, and there was the little cup and everything. And of course she wanted to put some juice in it. And then we just kind of started talking, but it wasn't so much drugs and alcohol, because she can't comprehend that right now. She's just so young. But it was just about keeping our bodies healthy and taking care of ourselves and just asking little questions. But she loved looking at it. I mean, it was just so cute. I went, Joelle, look, this is so cute.
I love how you just described it, because that talking in an age-appropriate way for me as a parent was always a little daunting. Like, I wasn't really sure what that totally meant. But this idea of laying a foundation for healthy choices, healthy living, taking care of ourselves physically, and then mentally and emotionally as they get older, it does make a lot of sense. It sounds important.
Yeah. And that was just, we have, our kids range from 14 to 32. And right. I have just,
it sounds like you have a grandchild as well.
And one on the way. So we're super busy. And I've just gotten to the point where when something comes up or something's bothering me, or I'm thinking about it, or I notice something a little bit different with one of my kids, even my older kids, we bring it up and I'll make a quick phone call, or with our 14-year-old at school, I send a quick text. Hey, how you doing? What's going on? Or is everything okay today? I've been really dialed in and aware of friend groups. I feel like we're seasoned parents. We're not these young parents, and I never have blinders on with any of my kids. So Lauren, when she started to get involved with everything, it really hit home to her, because her brother had substance abuse issues and she lived through it. She saw it. She did not want to be a part of it. And she wanted to try to help other families so that they did not have to experience the heartache and the struggles that he went through, and as a family that we went through. And I think that's one of the reasons she's so passionate about educating people about it and us. I talk to our youngest, I talk to her friends in the car. Like, sometimes something will get brought up and I kind of like hone in on that and start like getting a little more into the conversation. And I'm just super, super open with my kids. You have to be.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I think that's, so many families do have substance issues inside them. And I think we're becoming a little bit more open to those conversations as a society, but all families kind of recognize at different rates and then respond in different rates. That I have to ask, is your son doing okay? And
yes, he's the one with the little girl and the boy on the way. He's doing very well, but it was,
that's great.
It was a long haul, and yeah, it took him almost dying. I mean, literally, he drove into a light pole, and 2 inches from his head was a red light that should have crushed his skull, and it didn't. And that was his wake up call, that he needed to turn his life around, and he did. And thankfully he's doing super well and married with almost a second child, doing well. But it was very, very difficult. And it hits a core with me, because I'm super passionate about it, because we lived through that. And every kid is different. You know, we're a super religious family. We go to church. We don't drink. We don't smoke. We don't do drugs. I mean, as a family, but every child is an individual and they all make their own choices and they have their own path. And sometimes they go off that path. And our job as parents is to get them back steered into the right direction as much as we can and help them, because it's just, kids. Yeah, you love them. Yeah. And
don't want to see it.
Yeah.
That your daughter took this incredible stance is such a testament. And I hope I get to meet her someday because she sounds quite remarkable. Does anyone have anything else to say about use inside families that is problematic or that is impacting other family members and anything? I mean, it's just hard. I don't even know how much wisdom there is out there, but in any comments or responses to it?
I think what Simone said about you just never know, it's so prevalent right now and it can affect any family. And it's not something that is specific to a community or specific to any kind of family, but it's just so prevalent right now. And one of the things that we keep talking about is, you know, we used to say education is not, it's not the only and best strategy for prevention. But right now, with the way that the world is changing and with the dangers around fentanyl and with the vaping crisis that's going on and all the different things that young people are vaping and the mindset that it's safe, parents need to be educated on that because their voice matters to their kids and their kids listen to them. Even with the eye roll and the shake of the head and the whatever and all that, they're hearing what parents are saying. And I think it's just so important to get the word out to parents so that they can be equipped to have those conversations and just be reminded how important it is.
So that was really well said. And let me bounce now to Red Ribbon Week. And Jamila, tell us what this week is and how it happened. We said earlier, we celebrate it at the end of October. What are we celebrating and why?
So Red Ribbon Week actually got started, and its history is based on one of our former DEA agents, Enrique Kiki Camarena. Kiki, back in the 80s, early 80s, was in our Guadalajara residence office where he was focusing on bringing down the cartels, working on enforcement, and he was captured, tortured, and killed doing undercover work, trying to bring down the biggest cartels with marijuana and cocaine traffickers. And so as a result of this tragic event, Kiki's former high school, Calexico High School, started the Kiki Camarena Clubs with one of his friends, Henry Lozano, not sure if you've heard of him before, and Congressman Duncan Hunter. They actually went back to Kiki's school, petitioned a pledge, and started the Camarena Clubs. And one of our current partners, the National Family Partnership, formalized the Red Ribbon Week in the early 80s as well. And so at the end of October, October 23rd through the 31st, over 80 million youth, students, peers celebrate Red Ribbon Week in recognition, celebration, and honor of our fallen DEA agent. We celebrate through a number of different community strategy, community awareness, utilizing social media, engaging with schools, engaging with faith-based organizations. We want to raise awareness with our peers on what they can do to celebrate Red Ribbon Week, what that looks like. It may be signing a pledge with your local school and maybe hosting a community event. Some schools in the past have celebrated this as Spirit Week. But it is Red Ribbon Week is about living healthy, living a drug-free life, and just getting community engaged on what that looks like. And every community is different. It looks different in every community, but the ultimate goal is to be healthy and drug-free.
I think one of the things that really speaks to me about Red Ribbon Week is the way it expands this moment locally into this bigger picture, that those drugs that I may be using on a weekend or that my kids may be using on a weekend fit into a bigger picture. And it's the only place where I think that is ever expressed. Am I right?
Well, I think so. I think it's important that we focus on Red Ribbon Week. It's not only important that we focus on Red Ribbon Week, we need to educate year round, but Red Ribbon Week is the time where we want everyone to celebrate, raise awareness, and make the connection between being healthy in many cases means substance free. And so that's ultimately the goal. So if you're in a community that hadn't heard of Red Ribbon Week, we want that school, we want the peer to figure out different strategies to increase an opportunity to connect, engage, connect them to a coalition, connect them to a faith-based institution, the Boys and Girls Club, the YMCAs, the Lions Club, all of these partners we work with in our community outreach division to increase efforts of continuing to raise awareness with Red Ribbon Week.
I agree. It's such a great opportunity. I just want to say the school districts are really into it and it's something that they're excited about. And for a long time, I got frustrated because they would do something for Red Ribbon Week and then nothing else. And so I love what you were saying, Jamila. It's just such a great opportunity. It's like an entree point, you know, that where here's some prevention information and then what else can we do throughout the year? And since kids are getting information and bringing it home, hopefully, again, another way to connect parents to the prevention efforts. It's great. Mm-hmm.
Which ties all to our theme for today, which is talk now. Now is such a great opportunity as parents to start talking to your kids. Get on that Red Ribbon Week site. Take a look at all that information and start asking your kids what their experience is and share with them what you're finding.
Yeah, that's exactly how what we promote. We have a DEA.gov Red Ribbon. There's a Red Ribbon toolkit that we share with our community partners, the demand reduction coordinators and the community outreach specialists. We provide them a list of things, a list of strategies that they can do to engage with communities, strategies that they can do to engage with schools. So we are the kind of the training and technical assistance arm to support our divisions so that our divisions can be support for their communities.
You know, I think one of the worst things as a parent or as teachers or anybody in the school system is to just ignore it and not talk about it and almost be afraid to talk about it because it's out there. It's not going to go away. And kids are going to get their information from someone else. And if you think it's not going to happen to you, it might. My saying is you always think it's going to happen to someone else, but you are someone else to everyone else. And you have to talk to your kids because if you don't, they're going to be talking to their friends or someone else. They're going to get their information and a lot of times it's going to lead them down the wrong way. So
I like the way you say that. You are someone else to everyone else. And we mentioned it a couple times throughout. This has always been an important topic. It's always been something parents need to be in conversation with their kids about. If you're listening to us now and you haven't heard about fentanyl, it is imperative that you find out what fentanyl is about and you find out how our drug landscape has completely changed. And fentanyl is killing our kids who don't even have substance problems or concerns. And I don't know if any of you want to talk briefly about fentanyl, maybe Jamila, anything from the DEA perspective.
Yeah, I just would like to share a resource that I'm hoping will get out there to youth, parents, is I mentioned earlier, our One Pill Can Kill campaign, and that focuses on educating about the dangers of fentanyl. Our goal is to reduce fentanyl poisonings, reducing deaths, and we're doing that by partnering with our field divisions locally and internationally, getting into schools, educating youth, educating teachers, administration, parents about the dangers, what they look like, what the myths are. We have fact sheets, other publications, a public safety alert has gone out. And so again, I just want to give that website, www.dea.gov/onepill. And there's also a toolkit where anyone can download materials that can help educate their communities about the dangers of fentanyl.
Awesome. Thank you. And if you did not catch that website, please look at the description of this episode. There should be links in that description as well. Any other thoughts? This is great information. There's always so much to absorb as a parent and to think about. And then there's that integrating it and then talking about it step. Any other thoughts about speaking to our kids or things that we want to be aware of?
You know, I think back when I graduated high school in the 80s, and what we worried about back then was a cigarette or marijuana, and you thought you were cool to have a cigarette. It has changed 150%. It's not that one cigarette or the marijuana is not the same as it was back then. And the drugs have changed, the fentanyl. Now, my experience has been talking to some of the parents that are my age. They're like, you know, it's just marijuana. I did that in high school or whatever. It's not a big deal. And it is a big deal because it's not the same. I can't state it enough. And they really need to talk to their kids. And I think schools need to talk to their kids and people cannot be afraid of it.
I agree. And, you know, yeah, we've been doing some great things in Sacramento County with the District Attorney's Office and Department of Health Services and the Sacramento County Opioid Coalition. They put on an opioid summit yesterday and hundreds of teachers and educators participated to learn and hear and to spread the word. And I think that's really important. And I just also like to say, never underestimate the value of a single conversation with another adult about talking to your kids. I talked to a friend once and she told me a couple days later, you know, oh my gosh, my daughter was getting on a bus as a freshman to go to a football game as a cheerleader. And I never even thought about it until you said something. And then I had a conversation with her and I'm so glad I did, you know, because it's just those opportunities, you know, that come along that you think, oh, wow, I should maybe have a conversation with my kids. So I just think just remembering and being very intentional is just huge.
Yeah. And also the influence that your kids can have, like with Lauren, for instance, being just who she is and her strong values and how passionate she feels about what where her stance is on everything. And she was at an activity at her school and she felt super uncomfortable. There was a lot of things going on that was not her thing. You know, she felt really uncomfortable and walked away from it. And there was thousands of kids there. And she walked away. And as she was walking away, another girl said, oh, are you leaving? And Lauren said, yes, I'm leaving. This just isn't my thing. I just don't feel comfortable. And she said, can I go with you? She didn't want to leave by herself. But then when she saw Lauren leaving, and then after that, Lauren's roommate left also and said, oh, I'm glad you left because I didn't want to be the only one. So a lot of times, you know, in your heart and you know, in your gut, what's right and wrong. And you need to follow that intuition. So, you know, one thing I've noticed, I'm big on Facebook. I don't go on Instagram, but I'm on Facebook. And you look at the Facebook posts and the majority of families and people, everything is always perfect. They look perfect. Their family is perfect. Everything is perfect. But you know what? No one is perfect. Everybody has something. And you'd be so surprised because no one shares the bad stuff usually. I mean, some do, but for the most part, no one is perfect thing. And what I've started to do with my youngest kid, just with her age still being in high school and, you know, being a minor, is I trust but verify. So I trust her, but sometimes I verify the information and just want to make sure that, oh yeah, you know, this is right. I think it's super important because you just can't wear blinders anymore. And there's so many things out there. Like we've told our youngest, if somebody hands you something like to eat or a candy, don't take it. Even if you know them, because you don't know where they got it. And just be really careful. Just be, you know, parent. It doesn't end when they're 18 either. It's right. Nonstop. It's always, it just, the dynamics change.
You're so right. And they call it adulterated foods. So the number of especially THC-based compounds that are being added to foods and to drinks that are highly, highly intoxicating, that didn't exist when we were in high school. And that is so common today. Mm-hmm. And then we've talked about, you know, fentanyl being added to literally anything. I mean, the street drugs aren't even what they claim to be. They're not Molly. They're not cocaine. They're not heroin. Lots of times they're just fentanyl. So all of that's changing. Even the alcohol, I mean, this idea that you're going to a keg party or somebody's got a six pack of beer, it's handles of vodka now that teenagers are showing up to parties with and are just pounding shots. The use is so different. I can't reiterate it enough that it's nothing like when we were in high school. I think everybody parents from their own experience. It's just normal and natural and part of the progression of how you parent. Our experience when it comes to drugs and alcohol is not relevant to our kids' experience.
Yeah, true.
They're exposed to so much more now. It's just mind-blowing. And again, I think educators, administrators should not be afraid to talk about it.
I find that every adult in every room to talk about it has to kind of confront their own beliefs about it. That's the only tricky part is even as long as I've been in prevention, it was a couple, 2 or 3 years of my being in it where I finally was like, oh, wait, no drugs and alcohol in high school. None. There's no reason. There's no scenario. There's no situation where that is ever the right choice of action, the right decision, or okay for these kids. And if it's taken me 2 or 3 years to get to that, you know, someone who's completely committed to underage substance use prevention, it takes everybody a moment to look at their beliefs, look at their own experience, and go, okay, maybe I need to kind of evolve a little bit. So,
right. And especially when you're talking about young people who their brain is not developed yet and they're a high risk age for being interested in risky behavior, you know, because their brain is not developed. So they don't understand that. And all they're hearing often is the media messaging and their peers saying, you know, oh, it's fine or oh, it's okay. Or even some parents saying, oh, it's fine. I did it and I'm fine. And if those are the only messages that they're hearing, then of course they're going to go down that path. And so it's so important for not only parents to talk to their kids, but also for those of us in prevention to really think about how can we counter some of those messages and how can we put out a different message for them to think about what do you want your future to look like? What do you want to be and what's going to help you get there and what might not? And just really encourage them and give them the right information about fentanyl today, the right information about what marijuana is like today, and the right information about how those drugs interact with their developing brain. And so that they have all the best information, they're going to make their own decision. We can't make it for them, you know? But if we give them all the information, you know, they're better equipped to make a good decision.
So well said. I'll say it one last time. I love the way Red Ribbon Week and Kiki Camarino's story expands this conversation. It's not just about Friday night. How did those drugs get to you? Understand where you fit into this whole picture.
Yeah. And then I just want to make sure that I mention the resources that I will also share for the descriptor again, dea.gov/redribbon. And I just want to call out a very interactive video of Kiki Camarena. It's an actual Google Earth tour. And it's very good for school. Even at home, you can take a look at it. It's at the bottom of our community page, our toolkit. And it's a walk through the life and history of Kiki Camarena. It's called The Interactive Tribute by Google Earth. And I will also share additional resources about community outreach, which is our Growing Up Drug Free pamphlet, our Drugs of Abuse pamphlet. And as I mentioned, we have a host of other fact sheets that we want to make sure that we spread throughout community.
When I was younger and my kids were young, I was very naive because I just never thought my kids would do it. I just never did. And then when I found out that our son was in high school smoking pot, I was completely blindsided because I thought never in a million years would he ever do that. I just raised him right. And that would never happen. I know some people don't think that, some do, but I think marijuana and vaping and the alcohol, it's like a gateway into heavier things, because pretty soon they want it. They want more and more. And I just think you need to nip it right in the beginning and take care of it.
Every expert we've ever had on the podcast has said, react quickly. Don't wait. First use, react. Don't just pass it off as it's just kids being kids or it'll resolve itself. Yep. And I think that ties to a lot of what we said, which is parents really do have influence. We don't realize how much influence we actually have. And also the biology of the use. Use does beget use for a lot of different reasons. We can have another podcast about that. And if use is begetting use, use is the gateway to the next thing. Everyone has said it really well, that parents really do have to understand the drug landscape, the alcohol landscape, and find a way to start being in conversation and staying in conversation with your kids.
Yeah. And not to be afraid to talk about it. It's your obligation as a parent. I mean, that's part of being a parent. It's not all the fun stuff. It's the tough stuff. It's the nitty gritty that you need to bring up with your kids. And it's not always fun, but I think you have an obligation to your kids to do it. You have to.
I really appreciate the imperative of your message from experience and being on the other side of going through. It's really appreciated, Simone. And
thank you.
I know our listeners are going to hear it. Thank you for sharing.
Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else before we go?
I want to thank you guys for the opportunity and being involved and shouting out Red Ribbon and celebrating Red Ribbon Week.
Thank you so much, Jamila. It was really great for us to hear from you directly and to get some perspective on Red Ribbon Week and know where to go to further understand. It's really an important part of our history. Thank you all so much for joining us today. We want to remind our listeners that all Talk They Hear You materials, including this podcast, can be found on the Talk They Hear You website, which is talktheyhearyou, all spelled out, no spaces, .samhsa.gov. SAMHSA is SAMHSA.gov. Please share this site and this podcast with your friends. The more we can be in conversation with each other, the better for everyone, especially our kids. And lastly, we would like to hear from you. Would you like to be on our show? Do you have stories to share or tips or techniques that have worked or not worked as a parent? Do you have questions for us or any feedback for topics or improvements of any kind? We know that your input will help us design the most useful interviews possible. For any of this, please contact us at whatparentsaresaying@gmail.com. All spelled out, whatparentsaresaying@gmail.com. Thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you next time.